Hello, welcome to Grace Communion Richardson Worship Stream. I am Pastor Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. Grace Communion Richardson is a diverse community, and we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through community or neighborhood engagement, all compelled by the love of God expressed to us in Jesus Christ. I welcome you to today's stream. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests. The address to send us prayer requests are on your screen. We know there's a lot going on in our nation. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and so on. So if you have any prayer requests, not just about the national issues, but any personal issues that you need prayer for, don't hesitate to share with us, and we will pray for and with you. We also accept and welcome any comments that you may have that will help us get to know you better and get to know how we are doing as we share with you the good news that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are in the process of planning to go back to in-person worship while at the same time remain online. Now, we want to go back to in-person worship in a safe manner. And at the same time, we want to continue sharing the good news online. So we'll appreciate your prayers as we plan for this, and we will let you know when decisions are made in terms of the dates and whatnot. As you may be aware, a number of school districts are open or about to open. And I just want to, at this time, pray a blessing on all students. Pray a blessing on students, on teachers, on school administrators, and the staff that are involved in the education sector, as well as pray a blessing on the parents and guardians, that our good Lord, by his grace and mercy, will provide continued protection and healing, wisdom and guidance throughout the coming school season and as choices and decisions are made. As you may already be aware of and have noticed, we are a diverse community as a church here in Grace Communion Richardson, and we take our diversity as a gift from God. It is a unity in diversity that God has blessed us with, and not only us, but humanity as a whole. And in the coming days, I would like to share some more about who we are. When I say in the coming days, it's really going to be on a weekly basis. So I want to share who we are as Grace Communion Richardson. And so I'm beginning that series today to do that. Our values, our vision, our mission, our hopes for the future within the context of our identity in Jesus Christ. So I'm excited to do that with you, and I hope that you will join us in the coming weeks. Right now, please join our praise team as they share a song, and then we will have scripture reading and prayer by Ronnie and Emily. Then I'll come back with a word of thanks for your generous financial support for our gospel effort, and then get into the main message for today. Please stay with us.
What fortune lies beyond the stars, those dancing lights too fast to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but when heaven's love swept low, my heart beating, my soul breathing, I found God.
Almighty God in heaven, we thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be present here today to serve you in spirit and truth, and to inspire your people, Almighty God, of your love, of your mercy and your goodness through the message that will be brought today through our pastor, Gabriel Ogie, and the rest of the Grace Communion Richardson Church, that your people, Father, worldwide may be inspired, Father, to open up their hearts, their minds, and allow their spirit to receive you today, and to give them the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of knowing who you are and who they belong to through the power of the Holy Spirit, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. Amen. Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. We will be reading from Romans 12, 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function.
So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so very much to our worship team for that praise song, and also to Ronnie and Emily for the prayer and the scripture reading. At this stage, I just want to say thank you to Grace Communion Richardson members, as well as our supporters, and all those of you out there who share our values, who have been very generous in your financial support of our gospel efforts and our desire to share the good news and to share the hope that is in Jesus. Thank you for your financial support. If you are interested in financially supporting us, you can see on the screen the various ways that you can do so. Your financial support is tax deductible, and we are very grateful to you. Thank you. Welcome to today's message. I am Pastor Gabriel, Grace Communion Richardson. Is racism sin? Is unity in diversity God's design for all of humanity? Is it ever possible for people of different skin color and ethnicities and other differences to live together and work together in the spirit of love and unity, growing each other up? The answer to all these questions, in my view, is yes. In Jesus Christ, the answer is yes. It is yes when we recognize that our primary and foundational identity is in Jesus Christ. That is where our common humanity springs from when we are described by Scripture as having been made in the image and likeness of God. That is what we seek to live out and proclaim here at Grace Communion Richardson. Today, I want to begin a series about who we are as a church congregation, our identity in Jesus, and how that identity in Christ is reflected in our values, in our vision, in our mission, and in our hopes for the future. And I will begin by laying a foundation or a premise for this series today, using the teachings of Jesus himself, and of course, of the Apostle Paul in Romans. So I'm glad that you've joined us on this journey of discovery, on this journey of knowing. Knowing first and foremost, Jesus. It is only when we begin to have a relationship of knowing Jesus that we begin to know ourselves and our identity in him. And then we begin to be able to live together, no matter what our backgrounds may be, in the kind of unity, in the kind of love, in the kind of mutual respect, in the kind of mutual edification, in the kind of mutual unity that God intended. Because then we will be reflecting the one in whose identity we live. So let's look at how this is all possible. That is, what it means to be in the identity of Jesus Christ. What it means to have our identity in him. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, beginning from the very first verse in Romans 12, mentions something that is instructive. In Romans 12 and in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, you realize he started with therefore. Now, when you see that word, it should be a reminder that it is referring back to something that's already been said. And what is that which this therefore in verse 1, the 12th chapter of Romans, is referring to? It's referring to the last preceding verses in chapter 11. Verses 33 to 36 of Romans chapter 11, we read Paul's exclamation, Paul's enthusiastic exclamation, praising God which is referred to as a doxology in, you know, in theological terms. Verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God," verse 35, "that God should repay them?" And then in the last verse of that chapter, it says, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." There are two things that I want us to remember out of this doxology. And that is first, the verse 33 that says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God." God is a repository of wisdom and of knowledge. And he has a grand design, a destiny that he has made us and planned for us to enter into, to enjoy, to be a part of. And he is working that out in his son, Jesus. And then the other verse that I want us to remember is verse 36, where he says, "For from him, God, and through him, and for him are all things." From him, through him, and for him. And other scriptures tell us that this is consummated in Jesus Christ. That in Jesus, from, through, and for are all accomplished. They are all made real, manifest in Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul is referring to when he says in verse 1, the 12th chapter, "Therefore, with this understanding, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," because he talked about the fact that God does not reject us in that chapter, that God's gifts and call are irrevocable because God's mercy reigns, God's grace reigns, God's love reigns. And so he's saying in verse 12, in view of this, this is our response. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, Paul says. And then in verse 2, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." So, the first thing that you notice here is verse 1 is telling us that we have a response, and that response is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, who are we offering that sacrifice to? What does it mean to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? Well, Paul is saying here that we submit, that we surrender, that we yield ourselves as a sacrifice to God in Jesus Christ. That's what he's referring to here. And he calls this our true and proper worship. So when we surrender and yield, when we submit to Jesus Christ ourselves, when we say, "I am no longer mine, but yours," then we are offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God. When we allow Jesus Christ's nature of love, Jesus Christ's nature of truth, Jesus Christ's nature of grace, Jesus Christ's nature of justice and equity to suffuse our lives, that is what it means to be living sacrifices. we are sacrificing ourselves to gain in exchange for the nature and the life and the image of Jesus Christ. And we are saying we are sacrificing our own identity in favor of the identity in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we will live a life that is worshipful, Paul is saying. We will live a life that makes God worthy of our time, of our thinking, of our moods, of our behavior, of our praise, of our gratitude. And as a result of this, he goes on to say in verse 2, we will not conform to the pattern of this world. Rather, we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, transformed from the pattern of this world to the mind of who? The mind of Christ. That new identity that we are surrendering to, that we are submitting to, that we are yielding to. So, to not conform to this world, to transform our minds through renewal, is to do so to Christ's mind, and to do so to Christ's mindset. So when we renew our minds, we mean, Paul is saying that we are letting go of our old patterns of thinking, our old belief systems, in place of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's mindset is described, and Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, where he says in the King James, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. New International Version says, have this mindset, uses the word mindset, which Jesus had. And then he goes on to describe how that mindset manifested itself in him as God, not grasping that high living, powerful, glorious living, not grasping at it, not grasping equality with God, but letting go of that, right? To become incarnated, to become human like us. A servant, as Paul describes it, even to the point of death. Serving even to the point of death. Sacrificial service that went all the way to Calvary. That's the mindset of Christ that Paul is encouraging us to have. It is the mindset of Christ that he is describing here in verse 2 of the 12th chapter of Romans. It is the mindset that introduces, as it were, our identity in Jesus. So to have the identity of Jesus is to have a renewed mind, a mind that is not conformed to the patterns of this world, a mind that is not conformed to the belief systems of this world, but a mind that is renewed and transformed to be like the mind of Jesus Christ. And then in verses 4 to 5, Paul continues to say this. Verses 4 to 5, the 12th chapter of Romans. Well, actually, let's read verse 3. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. It's a continuation of this renewing of the mind. It's a continuation of Paul's injunction that we do not conform to the pattern of the world. The pattern of the world is to have very high opinion of yourself. The pattern of the world is to think beyond what you really are capable of. It's certainly the pattern here in the US. We see that all around us. There are a lot of people who call themselves experts in so many different arenas of life, and half of the time they have no clue what they are talking about. And Paul is saying that is one of the patterns of the world that we are not supposed to conform to. Rather, we should have a realistic view of ourselves. And a realistic view of ourselves is achievable within the context of our understanding whose we are and who we are in Christ. A realistic view of ourselves is the view that God gives to us. It's the view that God imparts to us. That's the realistic view. That's the sober judgment he's talking about. And it is as a result of understanding by faith the giftedness that God has given to each and every one of us. And then in verse 4, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others." So now we are introduced to the essential truth that Paul comes to again and again, the truth of being in Christ. And say, he's saying, look, we are different, we are many, but we are one in our identity in Jesus Christ. We are one as members of the body of Jesus Christ. And you know how the body works. The body has different parts to it. There's a head, eyes, nose, mouth. These are all parts to the body. But they all cohere together to have a certain integrity of the body and work together to make the body function the way it is meant to function. The ideal way the body is meant to function. When there's a problem, then it's an aberration, it's an anomaly. Paul is likening our differences, especially as they are captured in our different giftings, as uniting and united as fellow members together in Jesus Christ, in his body. And so when we say who we are as a congregation or as individuals, as Christians, that our identity is in Christ, this is what we are talking about. We are talking about understanding the foundational premise from which, by which, we know who we are and we act. From which and by which we think and act. Jesus. Jesus is that foundational premise. Jesus is the one who provides that which enables us to think and to act in a way that is not conforming to the patterns of this world that Paul talks about in verse 2. So, when we talk about having our identity in Jesus Christ, we are talking about surrendering to who God intended for us to be in the very first place when he decided to create human beings. When he brought Adam and Eve into the world, God's best for us is known in Jesus Christ. And it is his image that we are supposed to grow into. It is his identity we are supposed to grow into and to reflect. So though we are all different, we reflect Jesus through his nature of love, his mindset, his way of living. The things that he stands for are the things that we value. We are the same in Christ as members of his body, and we are the same in Christ as children together of God in relationship. We are all relational children of God in that sense. And then in verses 6 to 8, Paul goes on to describe some of these relational ways that we live out the nature of love of Jesus, that we live out the identity that we have in Jesus of love, that we live out the gifts, the different gifts that he has given to all of us. As we yield to Jesus' lifestyle by faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this, friends, is what Paul captures in Galatians chapter 2 when he says in verse 20, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That's Paul saying, my identity is in Jesus Christ. And out of that understanding of my identity in Jesus, I live a life that reflects him, not me. And that identity that is in Jesus includes finding myself, identifying myself, even with his crucifixion. That I died with Jesus. I was buried with Jesus. And I have been raised with Jesus. And I'm supposed to reflect in my lifestyle who? Jesus. So Paul basically is saying Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And we know, as he says in that verse, that that is able to manifest, to happen by faith. And when we talk about by faith, we are talking about the power of the Holy Spirit moderating and enabling all of that. Not by our own power, not by our own intelligence. Remember the doxology, all wisdom and understanding, knowledge? God is the repository of that. It's not by us, friends. It is by the Spirit that enables our identity in Jesus and enables our reflection of the nature of love of Jesus in our own lifestyles. So to have our identity in Christ is to have Christ living in us. And that means yielding to his life in our lifestyles by faith through the power of his Spirit. That is, to me, such an encouraging and hopeful message. It tells me that I do not have to beat myself on the head all of the time, beat myself on the back all of the time, even when I make mistakes. Because I recognize that something is going on in my life, a lot of which I'm not even aware of. And it is happening through the transformative power of the Holy Spirit as I say, yes, Lord, and no to self. Yes, Lord, and no to self. So what does it mean to have our identity in Christ? In the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 14, Paul talks about putting on Christ. Other translations say, clothe yourself with Christ. I like the King James that says, put on Christ. It is to allow Jesus to become who you are. It is to have your identity in Christ, to know and accept Christ, to be a new creation in him, to accept Jesus as the ideal image of God's best life for you. It is accepting his life in your heart and mind through his Spirit and living out what he says and stands for. That's important. Part of our understanding of having the identity in Jesus is living out what he says and what he stands for. Mind you, I didn't say living out what he did. I said living out what he says and stands for. I mean, it's very, very popular to, you know, it's been popular for a while. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, that's not the best way to encounter the identity of Jesus, because Jesus did a whole bunch of things that he doesn't expect us to do. But he expects us to do what he says, right? Jesus walked on water. He doesn't expect us to walk on water. Jesus was celibate. He doesn't expect us to be celibate. We can get married and have kids and family and so on. Jesus did a whole bunch of things that he doesn't expect us to do. The standard for Christians is not just what did Jesus do, but what does Jesus say and what does he stand for? What are his values? That is what it means to share in his identity. That's what we mean at Grace Communion Richardson when we say our identity is in Jesus. It is living out what he says, trying to, through his spirit, and what he stands for. Accepting him as your brother and friend, Lord and Master, and King of your life. As his disciple, and helping make other people his disciple as well. That's really what sharing in the identity of Jesus is all about, to put it in very simple terms. So it means that we share Christ's nature and values of love. It means that we share Christ's incarnational, Trinitarian, and response-oriented mindset. When I say incarnational, I mean Christ being present with us. God in the flesh. God coming into our hearts. God being with us in our messes, never leaving nor forsaking us. God holding our hands, being present with us. That's incarnational. We are to share that identity of being present with each other. First of all, being present with him and with each other. That's what we mean by incarnational. Jesus stands for that. Jesus values that, and we want to stand and value that as well. The question is, how present are you with your loved ones? How present are you with your spouse? How present are you with your kids? How present are you with your parents? How present are you with your work colleagues? That's what God is to us. He's present to us. So when we share in the identity of Jesus, we want to be present with each other. How connected are we with each other? That's the next description of Jesus' mindset. And that is that he's Trinitarian. When we say God is Trinity, we are saying God is Father, Son, and Spirit. And these three are one. God, as Trinity, is the first community. Individuals or persons in community, so to speak. And this community, as the third description points out, is responsive to one another. That's what I mean by response-oriented. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit are responsive to each other, and they are responsive to their creation. And that is why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's being responsive to his creation. Are we in community with each other? Are we connected and connecting with each other? That's what we seek to do here at Grace Communion Richardson. And are we responsive to each other? Do we care for each other? The other day we talked about having empathy, you know, feeling for people. That's an identity of Jesus. And when we have our identity in Jesus, we want to grow in that. We want to manifest that. We want to share that identity. That's what it means to have our identity in Jesus Christ. It's to have that mindset that is incarnational, that is Trinitarian, and that is response-oriented. And of course, we also share Christ's life and mission and ministry of love. And then, of course, we live out Christ's commandments, as I said earlier. Jesus tells us to live out what he commands. And one of his primary commands to us, he says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So, that is what it means to have our identity in Jesus Christ. As a congregation, as a church, this is our understanding. This is what we are seeking to live out. This is what we are seeking to share. This is what we are seeking to stand on. Jesus, the solid rock and the solid foundation, who is our identity. Question: are you interested in inheriting and sharing the ideal life for you that God gives to you in Jesus Christ? Because having that ideal life is sharing in the identity of Jesus. To have your identity in Jesus, the only guarantee of eternal life, of love, and of joy. I pray you do. Over the next coming weeks, I will share what it means for us as a church, as Grace Communion Richardson, to accept and to share in Christ's ideal life for us, and our desire to share that with you, with your family, with your friends, with our neighborhood, with our loved ones. We believe in Jesus, and so we don't have to do life alone. I look forward to seeing you next time as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known, sharing his love and hope with a world that desperately needs it. Let us conclude today's message with a praise song from our worship team, and I will see you next time. God bless.
We are who God says we are.
I am chosen.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.